You know, sometimes we take for granted the music that we have and all that. Can we turn my microphone down just a little bit? I'm whispering and I feel like I'm echoing in this chamber. All right. Very cool. Yep. That sounds a little bit more normal. Cool. Thank you. Yeah, it's you know, worship. You know, we worship through music, we worship through song, and we worship through giving, and even now with the spoken word, one of the things that's, we were talking last Friday with the high schoolers, because this Wednesday is See You at the Pole, and those of you that are not familiar with it, it is a student-led movement where students gather around their flagpole around 7 a.m. every year, the last Wednesday of every year, and they just pray for their schools, pray for their teachers, pray for their classmates, pray for themselves, and it started years ago, and then throughout most of my ministry career, it's always been something that's just been a part of the fabric of what we've done as youth leaders and the students. And this year's theme is We Cry Out from Psalm 24, 3 through 6, and I was telling the students on Friday, just that reminder, as we come into this place, and the presence of God. I mean, obviously, God is everywhere and anywhere, but just the idea of preparing our hearts for worship. And Psalm 24 is one of those psalms of ascent, and it just talking about climbing to the, going up to the temple of God and into His presence. And reminding the students, you know, we walk up staircase. It may not be this long road, and may not be this huge, daunting task to climb this hill to our place of worship, but. But just, you know, when we come into this place, this is completely apart from a sermon, but just as a reminder, you know, as we're walking up those stairs, just to prepare our hearts to meet with God and to worship Him and to come into His presence and allow our time this morning to just allow God to just block away the cares of our world. And whether it's through music or through worship, through giving, or through the spoken word, I just pray that you have a chance to meet with God today, and that He would show Himself to you in a very fresh and vibrant way that will be transformative for you and maybe those around you. So let's open up a word of prayer, and we'll get into our sermon this morning. Thank you, Father, that we can come into your presence. Thank you, Lord, that you are here. And whether we're ready to meet with you or not, you're here. And so I just ask that as we spend time in your word this morning, that your spirit would speak through your word, through the words that I have prepared. May I disappear, Lord, and may you be seen. Father, help us to grow more and more like your Son, Jesus, as we are seeing this fruit of your Spirit develop in our lives. We ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So yeah, See You at the Pole on Wednesday. If you think about it at 7 a.m., pray for our students, pray for our schools, pray for anyone that you know that's involved and engaged with the public school system, and that God would just do a work there. Just an amazing work of Christ. February 15th, 2012, in a small town in Poland, a woman, Joanna, let me get her name right, Kreszczanek, I know I've butchered that, but it's a Polish name, she had been carrying triplets, and that day she was able to give birth to two of the triplets. And she was delighted, and she was overjoyed with that, and you'd think, but that's two of three. Well, the way the story goes is, Joanna was she went into labor at 21 weeks, and the first triplet was born very prematurely and really had no opportunity to survive, and so her doctors gave her some medication, and. They took the first baby that was born and they, you know, cut off the umbilical cord and they basically kind of put it back in her, I guess. But they gave her medication, And then they elevated her 30 degrees. Because since the birth of this first triplet, it started this labor process. And so for the next 75 days, Joanna had to be elevated 30 degrees, the feet up, on medication, could not move, had to have people care for her hand and foot, bathe her, feed her, everything. She couldn't move. She had to stay still. And so 75 days later, at 32 weeks, the other two twins are born. Iga and Ignacy, a girl and a boy, both weighing just around 4 pounds. And as I said, she was delighted because just how amazed she was that all this effort and all of this to save these two children. Like I said, she said she had to be very disciplined in that process to just be still and allow all of this to happen for the hope that the two remaining babies would be born and would be healthy and she would she'd be able to enjoy being a mom and all that. And so, and I start with a story because we're talking about patience today, and as our musical time of worship, we were singing songs of waiting on the Lord and being patient on God, and there's this sense of hope and anticipation. That's kind of what this story, this encounter for Joanna was about. It was this sense of just waiting on something that is to be anticipated and something that is going to be just fill her with joy and overwhelming and just a good thing, even though in the midst of what is a tragedy, the loss of one of the triplets, she knew that there was something to come and there was something worth waiting for. And so we're looking at that, and yeah, there are times when we just have to persevere and endure. And there's two different words in the New Testament that often is translated for us in English as patience. And the first one speaks of something like this. This perseverance, and when the circumstances are overwhelming, we wait patiently. We persevere, we have endurance because of the circumstances, with anticipation, hopeful anticipation of something better to come or something good is going to come out of this. And so we certainly have that. And when we're talking about our relationship with God and the circumstances that we find ourselves in the middle of at times, it is that patience and endurance and perseverance that we're talking about. One of my favorite passages that you've heard me cite several times in James, where it says to count all joy when we go through trials, and so that it is a part of this process that God uses to shape and to mold us and develop this endurance, this patience, in spite of the circumstances. And so that's one aspect of patience. When we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit and this being developed in us, that's one element. It's that waiting and that endurance and that perseverance. But in light of what's going on in our world today, in the light of just relationship and looking at the actual word in our text on fruit of the Spirit, when Paul writes that we are to have love, joy, peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The word patience here is the other Greek word for patience. It's the word that talks about long suffering. In many ways, it's the word that is used in the Old Testament and often translated as slow to anger. And if you know anything about the Old Testament and how God was just constantly waiting on His people, the nation of Israel, they were a stiff-necked, defiant people. And God's slowness to be angry, slowness to enact His wrath, it's evident in so much of what we see in the Old Testament. And it's that concept of patience that I really want us to look at this morning. Because circumstances are beyond our control. at times. And yes, we need to endure, we need to be patient, we need to wait on God. And with that hopeful anticipation of what He's doing in our lives, will end up being a blessing or at least some growth for us. But the thing is that we have to deal with people. You know, no matter how much we may try to avoid conflict or issues like that, conflict comes and we have to deal with relationships. And it's in that patience, that aspect of patience that I want us to really look at today. And so, in developing godly character, once again, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about God's presence in our lives, and that because we have the Holy Spirit in us, these different components of God's character, love, joy, peace, we've dealt with before, and now today patience, that these are the things that would start to become evident in our lives. And so, again, as we're talking about the term of long-suffering, I think it's a great word picture that is also the definition. To be able to suffer for a long time, to be able to endure for a long time, to show that level of patience. Again, as we looked at the Old Testament, it speaks of God being slow to anger, but it's often accompanied by this description of His abounding and steadfast love. And it says, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But here's one of the key things in this passage in Numbers. He'll by no means clear the guilty. It doesn't mean that God sweeps away and ignores and turns a blind eye to our sinfulness. We were talking this morning earlier, just the great problem that we have as human beings is that we have sin in our lives. Even as followers of Christ, we still can struggle with the temptation of sin and even the falling into sinful decisions and choices and actions. But so God says, okay, yeah, there's sin in our lives. We are sinful people. We make mistakes. We cross that line. But He's not going to just simply ignore that fact. I mean, there are going to be consequences to our sin, but He's going to be so just great mercy and grace and slow to anger because of His abounding and steadfast love. But sin has its consequences that we were talking about earlier this morning. But it's in that long-suffering love that God has for us that shows His patience with us, His people. In Nehemiah is getting this report, and it says, you know, God, you're ready to forgive and you're gracious and merciful and slow to anger, again, abounding in love, and you didn't forsake your people. That slowness, that patience, the slowness to anger, that patience is often accompanied when we see it in the Old Testament with this concept of God's steadfast love. And so, even as we go into the New Testament with Paul, it was clear that the writers recognized God's patience. It says, what if God, although choosing to show His wrath, because we are deserving of His wrath, because we are sinners, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. God could choose to bring about discipline, bring about punishment on our lives. But here's the thing. He has great patience with us. He's slow to anger with us. Because we are the objects of His wrath. We are a sinful people. We are deserving of all that God has said He will do and ought to do. Because God is, if anything, He is a just God. His justice is true. His justice could be swift, but because of His great love and because of His great patience, even though we deserve what is coming to us, the consequences of our actions and our sin, says, what if He did this? What if He showed this great patience to make the riches of His glory known to us? Now, where we once were objects of His wrath, deserving of the punishment and the consequences of our sinfulness, we are now the objects of His great mercy and that steadfast and abounding love that we read about in the Old Testament. See, that's long-suffering love. This is the godly character that He has demonstrated throughout history to His people and now to His church. God has shown Himself to be incredibly patient, waiting on us, even though we are deserving of punishment, even though we are deserving of the consequences of our sinfulness, of our sin nature. God, to His glory,
shows great patience with us. And if you reflect on your own lives, you know this to be true. You know how God has been so patient with you. God has been patient with me. There are so many times I am deserving of far less, of far more punishment and consequences and discipline from a loving Heavenly Father than He has demonstrated or shown to me. And it is to His glory. And I praise Him, and I come into a place like this and I worship Him. Because even though I am deserving of His wrath, even though I am deserving of His discipline, God bore great patience with me and with you. That's that long-suffering love that we see in Him. And so, again, as the Holy Spirit indwells us, the fruit of the Spirit, we hope that it would be evident in us. And so in 1 Timothy, in verse 14, 16 of chapter 1, he says, "The grace of our Lord," Paul's writing here, "overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display His perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in Him for eternal life." Paul's saying this, "I am a Christian. I am a follower of Jesus. God has shown His great mercy and on me, and He wants to display this long-suffering love. He wants to display His perfect patience in me. He wants me as a child of God walking this earth. He wants to show some of His character and His quality in you and me." We reflect godliness, or we ought to. If the fruit of the Spirit is to be evident in our lives, this is our opportunity to reflect and to show a lost and dying world that there is a God in heaven that loves them. And that love is shown out in this long-suffering patience. See, one of the reasons we're created in Christ Jesus is to glorify Him. And as He is a part of our lives, Paul says He wants to display, that God would display His long-suffering love and patience through us as an example to those who were to believe in Him for eternal life. As an example for those that have yet to make that decision to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to respond in faith. For those that are out there and they're looking at the church and they're looking at Christians and they're thinking, is this God real? Is this God worth worshiping? Is this God worth following? Is this God a God worth committing my life to? And lo and behold, you and I are examples of godliness to those who are yet to know God as their own Lord and Savior. So to be that example, we are able to show and to demonstrate God's patience so that others might choose to follow Him, might choose to believe in Him. In Colossians, we talked about this last year a little bit, just that we are to put on as God's chosen ones. Because God's intent is that He would show and demonstrate His patience in us. But here's the problem. You and I both know that we have a difficult time always demonstrating and being a display case, if you will, of God's glory and God's character. We still struggle with sin, and we still struggle with impatience, and we are not long-suffering in a loving way. It is something that we almost consciously have to determine. I am this relationship, this connection with this person is important to me. I love this person enough that I will be patient with them. So Paul tells us, as God's chosen ones, as His children, as the followers of Jesus Christ, let us consciously put on these qualities, and among them we see patience. And then he goes on to say, bearing with one another, and if one has complained against each other, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And we'll unpack that a little bit later. But because God has forgiven us, because God in His long-suffering love and His patience, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, God forgives. And so one of the ways that we can do that, we'll talk about, is that we can be more forgiving. As we are forgiving of others and we're showing that patience and that long-suffering love, people will see that godly character in us. And that is what we're talking about when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. I want to show you this video.
You know,
just the reality is this, that anger exists. We have conflict. We struggle with it at times. And so I just want to show you this. This is from Talladega Nights. Just a little clip and a little bit of fun here.
How's everybody doing over here?
Dolly is so good.
Really?
Oh, so good.
Okay.
Really
good. You know, I hate to be a pain, darling, but I asked for no onions on my bourbon steak.
Oh, I am so sorry. I thought you asked
okay.
for
okay.
onions.
Maybe don't interrupt me.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Yeah, well, I think you did mean to, and I also think that you meant to put onions on my steak.
Okay, Reese.
Grandfather, can't we resolve this conflict without anger?
I'm a veteran!
Dad!
And a diabetic!
Dad! Why are you doing this?
Applebee's has rats!
I found a whole rat in my Cobb salad!
Can't we resolve this conflict without anger? We're honest. I get angry. You get angry. Anger happens. It's this emotion when human beings get together. You know, over the course of time, the relationship just gets a little bit tense, a little bit strained. Anger happens, and it's not a matter of if. Sometimes it's a matter of when. And sometimes we think of anger as this very intense and this negative emotion. But what we see in Scripture is that there are people that we look in Scripture, like David, who, you know, they get angry. And David was described as a man after God's own heart. And here in Psalm 139, he says that you'd slay the wicked. He's just looking at all these people that are doing evil in the world. And he's like, God, men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. And your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord? I do not loathe those who rise up against you. And he's like, I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. That's anger. There are times when we see people taking God's name in vain, and we see people just absolutely standing against God, and it ought to make us uncomfortable. It ought to make us angry. Hate is a very strong word, but that's what David was feeling. And then he goes on, the next verses, he's like, but search me, O Lord, and know my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me. I mean, he's like, okay, I'm welling up with some anger here right now, but you know, I want to make sure I'm right with you still. And so, yeah, anger happens. And Nehemiah, like I said, he gets this report, and he says, you're forcing our sons and daughters to be slaves, and some of our daughters have already been enslaved, but it's not in our power to help it. Men have our fields and our vineyards. He says, I was very angry when I heard their outcry and these words. He's getting this report of what's going on. He's like, no, this is not right. When injustice is happening, the idea of feeling angry and upset is kind of a natural human emotion. Even our Savior Christ, you know the story when he comes into Jerusalem and he sees the temple of God being used as a marketplace and people cheating others so that they can have these sacrifices to bring. And all of this, he's like, no. And he drives them out, those who sold, saying, it's written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of robbers. Anger in itself, we all experience at some point, but in and of itself is not the sin. We're told, and we'll look at it in a moment here, you know, we need to find a way to be angry and not sin. See, if you've been watching the news this week, you've seen a lot of the turmoil that's happening back east because of the shooting death of Keith Lamont Scott, who was killed last week, and it sparked several days of protests that became just unruly the other night. You see and you understand the anger and the frustration that isn't it because of systemic problems that our nation has has had to deal with for decades. And so on the surface, we see this, and we understand where people are coming from. But like in that clip, it's like, can we have conflict without anger? Sometimes we can't. But it's how do we deal with our anger? How do we demonstrate this patience, this long-suffering love, and yet acknowledge the fact that circumstances and people and situations will well up within us this intense emotion that sometimes looks like this. And let me tell you, I would submit to you that God would have us acknowledge and express our frustration and our anger and our hurt in a way that doesn't look like this. But how do we do that? And that's what I want, the practice of patience. How to avoid sinful anger. How to avoid crossing over that line where now our anger is not just simply the acknowledgement of our frustration and the acknowledgement of our this intense emotion because of circumstances or relationships with people, but actually do it in a way that still demonstrates that long-suffering love, that patience that will reflect godliness, godly character in us, that others might want to know this God that we serve. I found just a brief quote this morning. Benjamin Watson, tight end for the Baltimore Ravens, he said this in an interview this week on Thursday. One of the biggest things that we have to be able to do is handle conflict and handle it correctly. When we're able to look at our biases and look at our frustrations, look at our sin in this area, our pride and our selfishness, it allows us to move forward. And then he finishes with this. Obama can't save us. Mrs. Clinton can't save us. Mr. Trump can't save us. The only one who can change the heart of man is the Lord. And I just, like I said, I just ran across that this morning. I'm like, I gotta include that because it is so true. If we're looking at all this frustration and this anger and this and what's going on in our world, I understand that, and we pray for that. How do we be angry but not sin? How do we not let the sun go down our anger? One of the things that we need to do, and from this passage in Ephesians, by not letting the sun go down on our anger, is let us start to address it. Let us start to deal with it. Let us look at the situation and not just keep pushing it off for the next generation and pushing it off for the next Congress or pushing it off to the next leadership, especially when we're dealing with our own families, when we're dealing with our own relationships, when we're dealing within our own home or maybe in our workplace or at school. How many times do we just like slough it off and just like, okay, I'm not going to deal with this now. It's too complicated, or it's just going to open up a can of worms and it's just going to get more difficult. And we let the sun go down on our anger. We put it off to the next day. And here's what happens. It just continues to fester and just continues to cause this root of bitterness to start to develop in us. I mean, when Scripture says, okay, here's the first thing. How to acknowledge our anger without sinning, deal with it in a timely manner. You know, yes, don't let the sun go down, but maybe, you know, the day has to pass. And I know that we've stayed up late, you know, we in the wee hours of the night because we're trying to take this verse literally. The sun's already gone down, but we're not going to bed yet. But we've had to deal with those kind of things. But it's more the principle of deal with our issues, deal with our anger, deal with our frustrations in a timely way. Don't let it fester. Don't let it just continue to develop this root of bitterness in us. That's one way that we can do it. Another passage that we have here in James helps us to know this, my beloved. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Someone once said, it's the reason why we have two ears and one mouth. That we would be quick to hear and to listen. Let that drive us. And unfortunately, too many times we do it the opposite. That we're quick to become angry, we're quick to speak, and if we are stopping enough to listen, that's great. But rather than quick, slow, we do it slow, quick. You know, we get to that trigger point of anger very quickly. And because of that anger and that emotion, then we spout out something that we regret saying later. And then we stop and we're maybe willing to listen. And James was like, no, this is kind of a better way. Let's be listeners. And so when we're looking at the turmoils and the stuff that we're dealing with in our country right now, it's like, are we really listening to one another? Are we listening to each other's concerns and frustrations and problems? Or are we moving so quickly to the anger and so quickly to the rhetoric? You know, part of listening for us as followers of Jesus Christ is going to prayer and listening to the heart of God. Going into the Word and listening to what God's Word says and how God would have us to act and respond and to be in a certain situation, to be patient, to be long-suffering. Are we quick to hear what God would have for us? Because as Benjamin Watson said, I mean, really the heart of man can only be changed by this long-suffering, loving God. So we want to deal with it in a timely manner. We want to be more listeners than speakers and angry people. And the last one here, I want to put on patience, bearing one with another, and I said this earlier, to have this more forgiving heart. That, again, we're not talking about ignoring sin. We're not talking about the fact that when someone has done something that offends us, that we just become a doormat and allow them to continue to walk over us and take advantage of us. No, it is to get to that place where we truly and sincerely are willing to forgive. We don't necessarily always forget, but we don't hold their offense against them any longer. See, that's how God forgives us. Because we have offended Him. We have sinned. We fall short of the glory of God. Scripture tells us that our sins are not only forgiven, they're forgotten. Now human nature says we have a hard time forgetting when we've been hurt. But we certainly can forgive as God has forgiven. And if we're going to avoid sinful anger, if we're going to be long-suffering and loving and in our patience, particularly in relationship to one another, yeah, let's deal with it in a timely manner. Let's be quick to listen. Slow to speak, slow to become angry, and let us be willing to develop this forgiving heart for the offending party. Putting patience in practice. Here's one of the things. The Proverbs have a number of different things that we can see, that just some of the benefits for us. When we put patience in practice, he says this, hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets the contention, brings about peace. We talked about peace last week, not just harmony, but this unity, this unifying component to relationships. When we are slow to anger, we have the opportunity to bring about that unity, and we are able to quiet the tension in the room. Another benefit that we see, and these are just a couple things in Proverbs, but sensible people control their anger, and they earn respect by overlooking wrongs. And again, it's not saying let's ignore when people are sinful and when they've done something that truly hurtful and offensive. But there are times when we get worked up over the littlest things, like the toothpaste cap is not on, or you do the toilet roll under instead of over. As annoying as that is for me, I don't get upset when the toilet roll is replaced and it's going the opposite way. You know, we can overlook those. And yes, that's being facetious, and yes, that's silly. But think about the things that are that quick trigger for you, that set you off, and you know in the heart of hearts that they're little things that really can be overlooked. You know, those that are slow to anger, they control their temper. I love this. They earn respect. And let me tell you, for us guys, I mean, that's a huge thing. To be respected in the workplace, to be respected in our homes, respected among our peers. Respect is a big thing for guys. Ladies, I know it's important to you too, but for us men, it is definitely something that just kind of drives us. And unfortunately for us men, Sometimes it's hard for us to control our temper. So gentlemen, this is one way that certainly that felt need to be respected. Yeah, this is one of the benefits. When we're able to be long-suffering and patient, others may see us in a more respectful way. So just last passage here, James 5, 7 through 8. So be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. Until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for precious fruit in the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. And you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. See, we live in a generation now where we think that the coming of the Lord is at hand. When James wrote this, they thought the coming of the Lord was at hand. But the principle is this, and we'll finish with these. To be patient and long-suffering is an ongoing process. It's not something where, okay, by the end of the year, I'm going to be as patient as I'm ever going to be, and I'm done. I'm done trying to be patient. I've reached my level of patience, and I'm done developing, seeing that developed in my life. God, you can work on another quality in my life, but patience, I've got it handled. No, it's an ongoing process. And James says, hey, until the Lord returns this side of heaven, keep working on it. Be patient. Don't stop. Understand that you're going to come and encounter new people, new circumstances, new situations that you hadn't encountered before. And now, guess what? Now you're going to have to learn to be patient again in this situation, with this group of people, in this workplace, whatever it might be. And last thing, patience again shows God's love and forgiveness to ourselves, because sometimes we need to be reminded how much God has been long-suffering with us, and rejoice and to worship Him, but also, as I said, that we can show that to others so that the world would see Christ in us, that we would be the display of His perfect patience for those who basically are yet to believe and to receive Christ as their Savior. We have the opportunity to be long-suffering and patient and display God's goodness in that sense. So, some thoughts on that, because we are people that interact with other people, and our patience will be tried. And so, you know, that kind of axiom, don't pray for patience because God will give you. I say pray for it. Pray that God will make you more patient when it comes to relationships, so that we are reminded of His tremendous love for us, and that we can demonstrate and show to others His love for them, that we could be long-suffering and loving just as our God in heaven is. Let's pray.